The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Hurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Mdu Mokhtar, my favorite new artist of 2021. I'm just a big fan, you know? I love the sounds that he brings, the diversity that he brings. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but I am in love.
I just know the guy's connected.
You think so?
He knows things.
In some form or fashion, this guy has got scoops.
He knows scoops. Stuff, for sure.
We all know who he is now.
Yeah, you know, and it is, I don't know who his PR company is, but they hit a home run this time because now everybody wants to see the Mdu Mokhtar show, which, honestly enough, he sounds like a damn good guitar player. This might actually be a pretty fun show, turns out, Mdu Mokhtar.
Yeah, if he's there.
So, here we go. It's officially lineup day. The last time that we had a lineup day, me, Barry, and Taco were sharing a hotel room, you know, and we got to actually spend the night together at the Moxie in Chattanooga. Now things a little bit different.
That's right. Drove all over town one night waiting for the lineup to get to us.
Going from Taco Bell to Taco Bell, picking up beers along the way. I guess we'll just keep drinking.
Now we got it yesterday like everybody else.
Yeah, so. It is kind of remarkable that in 2021, they're still sending the lineup to bands, thinking bands aren't going to share it with their friends. Yeah. You know, I don't mean to you know, be this kind of guy, but it just reeks of somebody at Live Nation who's not really attached to this. What they do every time they send it to, whenever they have a festival, they send it to a band and they want the band to promote it the day of the announcement. I don't think AC makes that mistake.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, didn't it leaked once before, right? Was it four years ago that leaked and it was right. And, should say yesterday that the leak was correct. We got it officially this morning.
Not necessarily a very smart eye, a sharp eye when it comes to poster nerding out. We'll notice a big change on the second line of Saturday.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Friday. Jack Harlow on the teaser, on the little teaser thing, was on the third line. Now, second line. He's been upgraded. And by the way, the other thing that was different, well, it's not different, but it's different from the original lineup. The only reason I noticed it, frankly, was because Nelly was originally on the lineup performing Country Grammar. Well, now that's not even noted anymore. So the only reason I noted that Jack Harlow was moved up a line was because I was still looking for Nelly to perform Country Grammar and nothing.
No, there he is on Friday. Third line. Yeah.
All right.
So. Whatever. Well, it was an
actual, real, official leak. Turns out it was actually true. So, you know, without going, you know, too far into the show, let's just dive into it and tell me, your initial thoughts. Are you as excited and as giddy as you were this time last year when you saw the greatest festival lineup ever created?
No, but no, but not like I really wanted to see Miley Cyrus. Yeah. The more I thought about that after that lineup came up last year, I don't know why exactly. I just think it would be an interesting show. She fascinates me. She had a great year last year with all the little online stuff that she did. But, you know,
but there you get My Morning Jacket.
I get My Morning Jacket and the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm gonna call it even. But that lineup last year, if you were 2 years ago, year and a half, whatever it was pretty stellar. I mean, that
Taco,
was,
you as excited as you were this time last year?
For the most part, I think my biggest loss is Oysterhead. I was looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. But we've got the Deftones. We get Incubus.
Man, you might be the only person in America excited about Incubus. I'll tell you. That was one of those every year there's always one of those bands that were like, huh?
Yeah, I'm not saying it makes up for what we lost, but, you know.
I love that. We lose we lose Tool. But damn it, I got Incubus.
That's big.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen Foo Fighters. I am a huge Dave Grohl fan. I've said before on here, he's one of those guys that just gets it to me.
Yeah, we'll go through, you know, I've got a ton of Foo Fighters story, but let's go through some of this real quick. Just some top line impressions. The idea that, first off, for me, the idea that Tyler, the Creator, is your Sunday end of festival headliner makes no sense to me. No sense. I almost want Britney to close out the festival, to be honest with you. Having him as the guy that shuts the doors down doesn't really fit with anything else that Bonnaroo has ever done. Sunday has really always been traditionally for those guys that have been camping all week. It's a nod and a wink to the original Bonnaroo crowd, the all day campers, those lifers, those jam band guys. Are they going to stick around for Tyler the Creator?
I don't know. I don't know. You got Tyler, you got Lana Del Rey, Deadmau5, Leon Bridges will stick around for Brittany. Yeah, I know you'll be there for.
Yeah, but that's.
But
that's
I know what you're asking.
I mean, that's the. How can I put this? I mean, that was Fish last year, you know? That was. Who am I thinking of? Why am I blanking on some of the Sunday things? But, I mean, that was the night that, you know. Yeah.
No, But let me ask it this, and maybe it's too early because, well, there's so many questions. One, we all felt like that this year's lineup was going to be as close to last year's as they could get it, right? Mm-hmm. On the one hand. But on the other hand, we've been through something like none of us have ever seen in our lives. So is it a reset type of moment? Or is it get the best you can get?
I mean,
are you overthinking your question?
I know.
Your question,
it's a great point. It's a great point. But that is Tom Petty's slot. You know, they might as well just rename the Sunday headliner the Tom Petty slot, because nobody encompassed what that final show is supposed to be to me like Petty.
Yeah.
And so Tyler, the Creator, it just feels, I'm just going to say, it feels a tad Coachella. I love Tyler, though. I mean, I'm not going to that show. I mean, it is. For lack of a better term, it is a shit show. It is all over the place. It's fun, but I don't need to see that again. I just don't know if that's how I want to finish my festival. But to back up for a second, there is another top line headline here, Barry, for the journalist in you. For the first time ever, I think that there might be a female headliner on the first line of every day.
Mm.
That's got to be a first.
Absolutely, it is.
For a festival that's never had a female headliner, there's one on every single day
this
year.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, I think I ask you, you know me, my favorite is My Morning Jacket. I know a lot of people love Tame Impala, and there's Lizzo in front of them. But that, I think you pointed out, that's the way it was supposed to be a year and a half ago, and that's the way they were going to contracted to do it. I mean, that's a curious first two lines for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's it's a great first two lines.
Where we loved Friday last year, right? Where Friday was supposed to be the greatest day in the history of festival lineups, right? I think that's Saturday this year. Yeah. I think that if I go through Saturday, I feel almost as excited as I was about that Friday that was supposed to be 2020. For me, I count Lizzo, Tame, My Morning Jacket, Isbell, Phoebe Bridgers, great ad, by the way, King Gizzard, The Super Jam. I mean, I'll even go Loop Daddy. I'll do some Loop Daddy. I have no problem with that. Wooly is so fun. Almost Monday's about to blow up on at the alternative format. Tate McRae. I think
we found Goose last year on Urban Roulette, about Goose. Right?
Yeah, no,
that's Goose. Right.
Goose was the streaming band that we fell in love with during the Bonnaroo stream. Yeah,
they played in the virtual.
Right, reality. Right. That's right.
Yeah. So Saturday to me hits. It hits hard. Thursday is a little light for a festival that is going to get me there on Tuesday. Now Thursday seems to me like another Tuesday.
We'll have to come back to the whole Tuesday thing. But yeah, Briston Maroney's on there and Larkin Poe.
Big something I like a lot. But you know how I feel about the Grand Ole Opry. I just don't care.
I know. And the rest of them, to be honest, I'm not familiar with, which is fine by me because that's the Thursdays.
Yeah. That's the point. That's the point of Thursday. Right. And then,
Did we lose DaBaby?
You did not lose DaBaby.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. You might have lost the baby, but we gained a little.
We have Lil Baby.
Okay, well, you're the expert of babies.
Well, that's true. Bringing it up, I see Lil Baby. I don't see the baby.
You know what? If you know anything about Lord Taco, he's good at a few things. Two in particular: one, drinking PBR, and two, identifying babies.
Nobody identifies babies better.
Nobody
than Lord
identifies
Taco.
Babies like Lord Taco. Out. You need to know if it's a baby. Lord Taco is your guy. So you're going to have to tell me if DaBaby and Lil Baby are the same person. I'm putting you on this.
Well, I can't compare them if they're both not there. It looks like we're just getting a little baby, not necessarily DaBaby.
If you're Lil Baby, does that make you feel bad that you're not DaBaby? Because yeah, DaBaby
when they
wants like
to be
DaBaby.
DaBaby.
I want to be DaBaby.
You don't want to just be a Lil Baby.
In fact, I might be the baby of this podcast. So, who would be the little baby of this podcast? So, it'd be Taco. Are you the little baby to my DaBaby?
I might be a little baby.
All right. So, Sunday, I actually think is pretty phenomenal. And I know that Sunday has gotten a little bit of heat. But to me, I just think that Lana Del Rey is such a great show. You know how much I love Brittany Howard. I might only be seeing females on Sunday because the addition of Julian Baker makes my heart scream. I am obsessed with Julian Baker. I've missed every show that has come through Atlanta and Nashville to a great, great disappointment. I'm so upset that I haven't seen her. I am in love with Julian Baker. I know that I'm not, you know, going to be her type, but I think that there's a romance there. I think that there's a connection with me and Julian Baker because we're both sad Daria girls.
You better watch out for Brittany. She finds out you're double time teaming her.
It's gonna be tough.
You better be careful.
Jamila Woods is phenomenal. I love what they did on Sunday. I have no problem at all having the wrap up to my festival being Lana Del Rey. If Lana Del Rey on the what, I just have a feeling like Lana and Brittany are gonna be right there at the same time. I mean, the conflict between Lana and Brittany, I just had this feeling like Brittany is your final witch stage act, don't you?
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm. So with all that being said, let's take a tour through all the things that we said last time on the show, just so that everybody's clear. I was off by 2 days. 2 days. And I'll tell you exactly why I was off by 2 days, and I can't believe I'm acknowledging this. Somebody in particular and I will keep their names silent. But somebody in particular made me aware it was 2 weeks. It was supposed to be 2 weeks. I said 10 days. And I'm not going to go through why I said 10 days, but I'll just say I think I looked at the calendar wrong. when we did the podcast, I thought we were doing it on a different day. And I was not willing to admit that because, oh, God, whatever. But with all that being said, 2 days. I was off by 2 days. Secondly, the band that we were hinting at that we had had official confirmation on, not only was Brittany, but also My Morning Jacket as being an ad. You could have figured that out if you were paying attention to the opening song. I think I tried to make that pretty clear. But Barry loves My Morning Jacket. He loves My Morning Jacket more than anything in this world. So Barry is going to be very happy about that. I heard probably 3 months ago that the Foo Fighters were in, but I didn't feel comfortable saying it out loud. These things felt so iffy, and Foo Fighters have been one of those bands that have always seemed to make their way into the conversation, and I just wasn't totally sure, even though I damn near heard it from one of their people, I just didn't feel right about saying it. And then finally, I do have a little bit of an update. My Morning Jacket, you can probably, put it in ink. Put every dime you have at Vegas. They are playing Witch Stage after Tame Impala. They're going to be your Witch Stage closers that night. So more often than not, we seem to get it at least close enough. I think we got it a little close enough. Because,
well, let's go ahead and not to pick on you, but I think it's important. I don't think you said it on the show, but you did tell me you thought Tame was out. And then what is it you think brought it back, brought them back?
I think they're living in LA now. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure, but and I will go to bat. I mean, look, I have no doubt in the world that 3 months ago they were out. No doubt. 3 months ago they were out. But I think that they I don't know. I can ask, but I absolutely know that they were out. And then things changed.
My Morning Jacket. I agree. I could see them on the Witch. I could see it one of those starting midnight-ish and ending sometime when the sun starts coming up.
My guess was you have Lizzo at 9, you have Tame Impala at 11, and then you have My Morning Jacket starting around 1:15.
Yeah,
and 1:30, and going till 3.
Done. Like they did the first time I saw them, the 4-hour show there. Amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if Bonnaroo has an appetite for 4-hour shows anymore. We've talked about that before. I mean, the set lengths have gotten. It felt like they've gotten shorter. We were corrected that they weren't, but it does feel like there is not an appetite for those big, long, stretching sets anymore.
Right.
Now that will be put to the test with Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters will go for as long as they humanly can, and I hope to God they do. Now, you can be a Foo Fighters hater all you want to, but I've got a couple of things about this. One, outside of Jack White, and I know Jack White is polarizing, but there is not somebody better for rock music than Dave Grohl. He is the best ambassador that we have.
Agreed.
He is so good for the genre, and you know, he's the grand poobah of rock music at this point.
He gets it. He can hang with Paul McCartney. He can hang with Jack White. He can hang with,
he can have Britney up on stage.
Britney, anybody.
Yeah. He's the glue that keeps the entire rock thing together. And you may not like his music. And frankly, I run a radio station that plays a lot of Foo Fighters. I don't like the Foo Fighters all that much, but let me tell you, going to that show at the Metro in Chicago during Lollapalooza weekend, that was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen fan, but I love that Bruce Springsteen show at Bonnaroo. That Foo Fighter show at the Metro was 4 hours. Mm-hmm. They did nothing but an hour of Rolling Stones songs. And the drummer comes out and sings an hour worth of Rolling Stones songs while Dave Grohl plays drums. It's just so good.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so good.
Well, don't you ask, speaking of the, and I hadn't thought about it till you just said it, but the idea that they're doing shorter shows, we were told that was at the request of the artist. Oh, really? In most cases, and in addition to the fact that we were just wrong, that it wasn't true.
Yeah.
But I know we have seen far fewer of those sort of long, lengthy jam shows at Bonnaroo. But these guys have been, you know, in their houses for a year and a half too. Do you think they come out ready to play longer?
If you're the Foo Fighters, you do. I mean, I think they're always ready. Excuse me. I mean, I'm trying to look and see, you know, Lizzo and then Tame Impala is one big block, right? From 9 till, you know, I don't know, midnight. I can see the Foo Fighters pulling off 2.5 hours easy from 9 to 11:30 on Friday night. I don't think anybody's going to come behind them on the wet stage. Megan Thee Stallion, something tells me, and I don't have any information about this, but something tells me that is not a lead into the Foo Fighters. Something tells me that that is a witch stage before the Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah.
So
yep.
Who would go in front of the Foo Fighters? I don't know, but I'll tell you who I hope it is. I hope it's Janelle Monáe.
That's what I get
because
looking right at it.
You guys are sleeping on Janelle Monáe. That was damn near one of my favorite Bonnaroo shows I've ever seen. If I'm not mistaken, it was the afternoon, but it was in the early evening. It was
one
in the
of
beating
my
hot sun, and she absolutely wrecked to a pretty sparse audience. I just remember it not being very full, and she didn't care. She exploded. Stage was on. I mean, there were like 40 people on stage.
Yeah,
it felt
all
like.
Dressed in white from head to toe.
It was brilliant.
Remember the guy wheeled her out on the two-wheeler, Dolly?
It was brilliant. It was so fun. And at that time, it was just like Janelle was one of these artists. Like, yeah, I know her. I sort of like her. But it was before, you know, the album that really hit 2 or 3 years ago. I'm just so in love with her. You're going to hear me wax poetic about Janelle Monáe way too much over the next couple of months.
I've been a huge fan for years now, and her acting career. So the name should be a lot more familiar to more people,
mm-hmm.
but if you haven't seen her show, it's, she was a Prince prodigy at one point.
That's
was
right.
she not?
Yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
There's elements of everything is choreographed. Everything is very well thought out.
Yeah. That's
the music
is
great.
The word. That's the word. It's thought out. It's very, very well thought out.
Yeah.
She's very particular about those kind of details. You know, I'm looking at this. I tell you, I bet you I know who the witch closer is on Friday. It's Glass Animals. Glass Animals have had a massive year, and they just seem to fit late night, big production, sort of that, you know, Tame Impala slot from a few years ago after LCD. I can see Glass Animals making a lot of sense at midnight on the witch stage.
Yeah. Back to your original question, am I as excited? I still think this is a really, really good lineup.
I do too.
I'm still very excited. When we saw that one last January, it was such a mind-blowing thing,
that's right.
But I still think this is very good. And I agree totally with you. Saturday's replaced Friday as far as the all day long, better rest up, you know, be prepared.
Well, you know, I mean, we're going to go through this, you know, line by line throughout the rest of the next few months. But, you know, we've got an undercard that is not just strong, but it's full of potential for us to find something really interesting. You know, the whole reason why we started this podcast was to get into the weeds of some of these bands that we've never heard of. And just talk about them and figure out if we like them. But, you know, yeah, I think the undercard's really strong, but it's also got a ton of stuff that I've never heard of and I really want to start playing with.
Absolutely. That's the fun part. And I can't believe we've gone this far. And Brad will laugh, but Taco and I are thrilled. Turquoise is back. You know, I was worried about losing that one, Jerry Harrison.
What makes you think you're going to lose that? What else do they have to do?
The Jerry Harrison and Adrian Belew thing, who knows what their schedules are? Those guys are studio all the time. So Yes, there are. There's an unbelievable combination. Foo Fighters is a, for me, I've never seen them. So that's mm-hmm. a, you know, a bucket list one, if you will. Mm-hmm. Lizzo, I mean, just go back and listen to what Brad had said about Lizzo before. We will repeat it again later, but mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that show just as I was looking forward to Miley. So again, I keep going back to that. Mm-hmm. Isabel, I love, you know,
I love Jason Isabel, but are you going to see a Jason Isabel show at this point?
It'll be a walk by.
We've seen a lot of Jason Isbell shows.
Yeah, but he's so good.
He's so good. I mean, I have a feeling Jason Isbell is going to be a wet stage act at this point. I think, you know, he's got every
afternoon like
he's got every bit of Sturgill Simpson in him. Yeah. It just feels like the same sort of Sturgill Simpson timeline. I want you to go see Phoebe Bridgers, and I want you to go see Jillian Baker, mainly because they're both going to be on stage with each other at some point. And Lucy Dacus lives in Nashville. So there is absolutely, in my mind, 0% chance you don't get those three on stage doing some of that album. 0% chance. 0% chance that doesn't happen.
Only because it's new. Is it worth, who are the others that you're disappointed are off? 1975 probably comes to mind.
You know,
I don't know how much we want to dwell on what could have been, but.
I sent a lovely care package to the Ham family, full of 1975 merchandise. Mainly because it's just not for me.
Not for you.
Okay. Just not for me. I'm glad that the Ham kids love it, but that is for them. That is for them. Taco, you've got the list of bands that the ones that we lost versus the ones that we gained. I haven't gone through the math, but, you know, when I was told that there's at least 60% carryover, I mean, that number seems right, doesn't it?
It feels right. Yeah, okay. At least, if not more.
All right, we know that we lost Tool.
Yeah.
We know that we've lost Miley. Correct me if I'm wrong. Megan Thee Stallion was on the lineup, but she was three lines down, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. She was not top billing.
Yeah, except that she's had, you know, as big of a year as Lizzo had last year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So who are some of the other ones that we lost?
We lost EOB, which really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew that one was going to happen.
Yeah. But
Oysterhead, you mentioned.
Yeah, we lost Oysterhead. That's to me. That's Vampire Weekend. And Still Woozy. We lost Still Woozy.
I love Still Woozy. Yeah. That's too bad.
Oh, we lost YOLO.
That one hurts. You lose YOLO, but you gain a Jillian Baker. I love YOLO. I'm actually surprised that YOLO is not going to make it because for some reason I've thought that she lived in Nashville. I might be wrong about that. Maybe it's because her album was produced by Dan Auerbach, but I thought that she lived in Nashville. I might be wrong, but that one hurts because I really loved YOLO. But again, you know, back to you know, YOLO's moment was last year when she was nominated for Best New Artist. So, you know, when you lose that cycle, and we've talked about this on the show, when you lose the appropriate cycle, maybe it's best, and the bookers have said it, maybe it's best to take a step back, not use 2021 and repurpose and repackage for 2022.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, it is March, almost April, of 2021. It's not 2020. Mm-hmm. So it's not like everybody just hit pause. You know, you can do probably more harm if it's not the right time than if it is. So I think that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about, and with having John and Allie on the booking agents, there is a timing, there is a plan, right. And it's very much planned. I mean, it's to be redundant, but they think about these sorts of things. There's a timing element.
And if YOLO's going to be the kind of artist that we think that she's going to be, you know, just doing a Bonnaroo set doesn't really fit in to an overall strategy to make her, you know, the artist that she wants to be. You know, the other one that we lost, and rightfully so, Bass Nectar and Morgan Wallen, Bass Nectar, boy, you know.
Yeah.
Not to get into the weeds on this, but my God, have I heard just absolute horror stories about this dude. Forget all the, you know, the stuff that he's having to deal with and what's been accused of and all those things that he's, you know, just as a human being, he sounds like a rotten person. He just sounds like the, anyway, I wasn't a big fan anyway. I know that Barry was heartbroken that all that sort of, you know, fell apart for him. You're a big Nectar fan.
Well, I'm heartbroken that he would be that way, period. Any human being would be. But yes, I did like his music, some of it. Mm-hmm. I liked some of it a lot. I didn't like all of it. So yeah, there's really only a few things that I'd listen to. But yeah, that was, anyway.
But to the broader point, we lost a lot of EDM.
Pierce, though, doesn't.
A ton of EDM.
Yeah, and I should point out, we got the official announcement this morning. I'm pretty sure we were first. Not that it matters, because what came out yesterday is what everybody wants to know, the lineup. I mean, it does matter, and I'm glad to have gotten it, but I'm saying there's not a lot of really new information other than it confirms some of what yesterday is. I'm interested. It all reads and looks like what we've gotten in the past. So all the questions we've been having of, you know, how will this be different? Will it be different? At this point, doesn't appear so, other than the parking issue, which I guess we'll get to in a minute. But the EDM, I'm curious to see still how the EDM will go and how they're going to handle crowd traffic. I'm wondering if they're not, you know, like on Saturday, especially, they would sort of shut down everything else and pile everybody into one. I'm wondering if they're not going to try to thin things out somewhat more by having shows all over.
Well, let's not, I'll get to that in a second, but I want to go back to the EDM thing just real quickly, because one of the things that might have gotten lost in all of this announcement is their plan for the other. Now, if you read really closely between the lines, Bonnaroo's beloved home for electronic music will now see all-night performances and DJ sets through sunrise each day, along with spectacular new lighting, lasers, and surprises galore. You know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like Calliope.
I don't know what that is. Do you?
Sounds like what? I don't know what that word is.
I live in New Orleans. The word is Calliope.
Isn't that a street? And that's a street in New Orleans. How are they going to?
They move the hill and it's Calliope, okay?
You mean the Calliope stage, okay.
Oh, the Calliope stage, yeah, I know that.
So
yeah,
my bet is, you know, they're just, they removed the Calliope and just made it the other at this point. And they think that the EDM person is going to not really care the difference. Am I going too far with that?
Maybe not. I'm sorry. I'm reading the other thing about Jamtrak, some of the other changes, but probably not. But I think it's, again, part of, I mean, they're reconfiguring the whole back area, camping area, right? So that we knew the Calliope stage was going essentially away.
Or
combining with maybe the other. So that's probably, maybe that's what we're talking about.
I wonder if that it's a change of convenience or is a change of necessity. Do they change this and make the other basically an all night DJ set because they lost all their EDM acts? Or did they do it because, you know, they just didn't need to?
Because Calliope and other were sort of redundant.
Yeah, exactly.
And they wanted that space for more VIP camping.
Now
I would say that's probably the case.
Well, the other thing too that also, you know, I don't have any information about this, but if you look at all the other festivals that are happening in the fall, electronic music has completely taken over most every festival in the country, damn near the world. The idea that you can just pluck whatever EDM artist that you want to and drop it on the Bonnaroo lineup is fine and dandy in June, but when you have, I don't know, 30 other festivals vying for this type of artist, you know, their choices become a lot slimmer, Bonnaroo's, right? So maybe the available artists were not there because of competition. I would love to know who they lost, not just because of COVID, but who they lost based on competition. You know, if you start seeing insert artists here that was lost on the Bonnaroo lineup on somebody else's lineup, I wonder if that's the reason.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Did you have a chance to look at all these other changes?
All right,
I'm
so
jumping
let's,
all over the place.
That's fine. Let's start with Jamtrak. That was announced in the Domino Week. I'll just call it the Domino Week, the week where we all said, I'm not giving us a lot of credit here. Let me make that clear. But it did feel like the podcast that we put out last, it felt like everything afterwards, not because of the podcast, let me make that clear, but everything afterwards from then until now has felt at a just rapid fire pace.
No question.
I feel like every time I turn around, there's more Bonnaroo news from that Thursday on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think yesterday was a great example. Man, when that thing dropped, what was it, 11, 1030 or so? I mean, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
People were excited about it. It's, you know, obviously it's Christmas for Bonnaroo fans like us. But yes, yeah, so Jamtrak, they announced
it's a taxi service.
It's a free shuttle taxi service. And that's a big deal, especially because of their, you know, parking, this issue of coming in on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, I get it. It's like Amtrak, but
yeah, my man,
get it.
I love how, I mean, how many times did somebody buy a $20 ride to Centro because they just couldn't walk it anymore?
A bunch.
How many times? Yeah.
A bunch. Yeah. It's a long haul. Also new, new to me, they've had a shuttle from Nashville and now they're going to have shuttles from Chattanooga a couple times a day. So the day campers.
Barry, I just got a great idea. I just got a great idea. What if on Thursday we take over one of the Jamtraks and we are the taxi driver? Will Bonnaroo let us be one of the taxi drivers?
That would be fun.
For a few hours?
Talk to people where they're coming from?
I would love that.
That's a great idea.
I would love that.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
That's fun. Plazas, obviously, some changes to the plazas, just like upgrades, restrooms, medical, Wi-Fi.
And Haley Williams is back.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, Haley Williams is back for the Sanctuary of Self-Love.
And the stage improvements, we've hinted, I know Jeff Cuellar hinted at that. He told us about the parking, the getting people in and out, but also some of the stage improvements. So, looking forward to seeing what they do there.
Yeah, the biggest thing though, you're burying the lead here, Barry. You know what the lead is. The biggest change of 2021 is no PBR.
I know. I was going to mention that. Is that some kind of sick joke that Corona is the beer sponsor and not PBR?
I mean, it's brilliant for Corona. I mean, it's brilliant. But this is a sad day. This is a tough loss for our old buddy Lord Taco, who
I'm gonna have a talk with PBR about this.
It's their 69th follow. You
yeah.
should
69th follow. Yeah,
essentially a board member.
You hold sway.
Yeah,
you hold sway.
Yeah. I have shares.
I'm gonna guess you'll have your cooler full. You'll be okay.
PBR will still be there. I can promise you that.
No kidding.
With your new hat.
I got a new hat.
All right. So, okay. I want to go back through the lineup. Those are the changes. Those are some of the things that they announced that were coming along with the festival.
Also new, let me mention, and I'll have an update with it. They're still trying to figure it out, but it'll mean something to a lot of people. This, what is it, NFT, their art program, you know, the art program there at Centaroo. Mm-hmm. To a lot of people is really cool. Posters. I know you get a poster every year, don't you, Brad, or a couple of them?
I don't get a Bonnaroo poster, but I get, you know, you get artist posters. Yeah.
So, you know, they've had the RFID with the wristbands and mm-hmm. this year they're going to have the NFT, a collection for the poster lineup. So
I do want to,
it's a big deal.
I'm working on this and I haven't told you guys this, but I want to talk to an NFT expert, somebody who knows what the hell these things are, somebody who's in it, because I don't get it. And I've spent so much time reading all of this nonsense and I still don't understand it.
I don't quite either. In fact, when I got the press release this morning, I had to admit that I don't know what NFT is.
I thought it was a band.
Well, I knew it wasn't.
I love NFT.
With, I just had never heard the initial, and you know, well, he said, "Well, this is huge; it's everywhere." And I said, "Oh, look, I have $1 bill in my wallet. I don't do a lot of cyber buying."
So this all sort of became a thing when Kings of Leon put out their album, and they were willing to sell the album and all the things that came along with it via NFTs. And you know, you had the Rolling Stones of the world asking questions like, "Is this going to change the entire structure of how artists get paid?" And you know, I was reading an article one time, I don't know who wrote it, but it was, and again, you're talking to somebody who doesn't understand NFTs, but you know, an artist can make a ton more money through these than they would a normal record deal. And it's got, you know, the record industry, I gotta imagine they're paying close attention to it. If they're not afraid of them, then they're probably at least paying attention to them, because it's going to change. It has the possibility of changing how any artist becomes Billie Eilish anymore, right? Billie Eilish may not need a record label anymore, because she can make as much money on her own through NFTs than she ever would a distribution model. I don't know. So these are the kind of things that I just don't know, but I'm highly fascinated.
All it is, it's a way of assigning ownership to someone of a digital asset. Like, I could make a copy of something and give it to you. You have it, but there's only one way to track that it's owned by one person, and I can sell it to you. And the chain of people it's been sold to, they all make money through that chain. So, like, if I sell it to you and I bought it from Barry, Barry makes money off, a little bit of money off the sale to you. So it's just bragging rights. It's a way to say that
I'm already lost.
I own this.
I'm already lost. I mean, you know what I hear when I hear you say that? I hear Star Trek. I hear a resource-based economy that we're basically just trading resources for. I don't get it. I hear what you just said, Taco. None of that made any sense to me.
Yeah, I heard the last week, I guess. I didn't know it was called an NFT, but people were buying memes, which, you know, okay.
Same idea.
Why have ownership of a meme that everyone can see? I don't know.
Well, wait a second, Taco. You just said same idea. What do you mean? Well, who's buying memes?
Well, I mean, it could be anything digital. It could be a picture. It could be a song. Anything that normally could just be copied, now you can have ownership of it.
But what do you need ownership of a meme for? So you can sue somebody if they post it on a website?
Well, it's just like, why do people own, you know, priceless art? You know, because there's the rarity, there's scarcity. People like to say they have a one of a kind thing, or you know, one of 200 or whatever. And you know,
you're telling me yeah. I can put down a few $100 and own, ain't nobody got time for that.
if somebody claims it and says, you know, this is mine, I could draw something and put it up and sell it for $1, you know.
Wow.
But people like to buy them and hold on to them, thinking that it's going to increase in value.
Yeah.
So if you buy something that, you know, Miley Cyrus drew or whatever, maybe that will go up in value. Then you can sell it and double your money. And then everybody that owned it before, including Miley, would make money off that. So that's how people are excited about a new way to make money off this stuff, can just put out NFTs.
But that does or doesn't have anything to do with the Bitcoin?
It doesn't. It's the same idea. Like, you own a certain amount of Bitcoin. Well, they use the same method to track who owns which Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Now they're just saying, instead of a Bitcoin, it's another digital piece of.
Yeah. And in this case, it'll be the Bonnaroo poster. So you can bid on it.
And maybe Bonnaroo releases 200 NFTs. And, you know, you want to be one of the only 200 people in the world, essentially, that quote unquote own the poster, even though anyone could download it, print it out, whatever.
Man, I'm having like a VCR moment.
It's weird. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's part of what makes it, you know, exciting to a lot of people is just a new way to brag, you know, new way to say
and
that.
I hear you out front on it. They're the first to have it. So
I hear you. I just, that's a lot of flying car stuff to me. which good. Okay. I want to just really quick. Is there an artist on here that you can say that you absolutely will not miss? Is there your sleeper and you're absolute not going to miss? Do you have one yet?
Well, yeah, you know who mine won't miss is.
Okay. Other than the obvious, because mine's going to be Brittany. Yours is going to be My Morning Jacket. Yeah. Let's eliminate those two for a second. Who's your can't miss?
Ooh. Taco, you have an answer already?
Deftones.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say why, but I will not miss that show.
Yeah. Deftones are great.
Sleeper, maybe John Batiste. You know, he kind of popped
up. John Batiste is like, fun. Oh.
Yeah,
John that's gonna be and fun. I'm actually surprised that John Batiste is not doing some sort of version of a Super Jam.
I know. That'd be great.
He'd be perfect as a Super Jam host. Yeah. I'm still sort of confused about what the Sylvanesso project is. I know that there is a really good documentary about it, and I know the people that have experienced part of it really like it. It just sounds... I just haven't really figured it out yet. But then again, I've never been the biggest Super Jam fan anyway, and it does kind of make me wonder if they're... I know the Super Jam is their thing, but I wonder if they're trying to get a little bit out of the Super Jam.
You mean out of doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Because John Batiste would be the perfect host.
Yeah, that's what he does. I'm going to go probably with the Turquoise thing, and Larkin Poe is my...
That's your sleeper. And you really like them.
I do.
You're
a lot
fan. Look, I don't mean to be too on the nose here, but just don't miss the Foo Fighters show. You know, just don't miss it.
I thought those were obvious.
You think so? I don't think so. I think they're gonna get, you know, 20% of the Bonnaroo population who just says Foo Fighters suck. I just don't think that you should miss it. It's too much of a possibility of a moment. And you know, Pearl Jam just didn't have those moments in the past where we thought there were going to be a moment. I feel like Foo Fighters, of any band that's going to be on stage, of the entire headliners, they're the ones that have the opportunity of having a moment. You know, Run the Jewels might bring out Janelle Monae. Run the Jewels might bring out Lizzo. But Foo Fighters have the possibility of having that moment where we're all looking around like, wow, they literally could bring anybody.
They could have anybody and everybody.
Bruce Springsteen could stop by and say hi. It's just too big of a possibility.
Well,
and then
this is a tougher question than I thought. Foo Fighters, Janelle, Lizzo, those are all I'm not going to miss somehow, some way.
Yeah.
This is a tougher question than I originally thought.
My sleeper, and I'm going to hold off on saying, like, I think that you could, I might change my mind.
I might change
my mind on this because
every week.
Yeah. It's so true. I'm having a hard time with my sleeper because I don't feel like any of these are sleepers. But I really, really like Jamila Woods. I think that Jillian Baker is just too on the nose. I won't be missing Jillian Baker. I don't really have a sleeper that you couldn't already figure out is the problem, you know? Maybe it's going to be Imdu Mokhtar. Maybe it's going to be Imdu Mokhtar. So I'm going to just say thank you for being such a pal.
We might as well go to that show because that might be the last time he plays at Bonnaroo. <Yeah. laughs>
Oh, he got unfortunately had to cancel. We couldn't could not get him in today.
We'll answer the phone.
Yeah. You know, the other one that nobody's, I can't believe nobody's spoken of, Young the Giant.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly the reaction that I had.
Well, and, you know, our friend Daniel over at Rubus just loves Tame Impala. And I mean, I like them, but not as much as he does. So there's quite a few, that Incubus, there's a lot of walk-bys on here for me, put it that way. There's a whole bunch of people that I want to lay eyes on and see and check out.
I'll be
checking out King Gizzard and Uncle Acid. I mean, two
King
kind
gonna
of
be a great show. Go that's going to be, that's going to be a great late night show.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Goose again, Goose. Lennon Stella. There's just a bunch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about getting into these bottom lines, man. I know that we've all got, you know, the Bonnaroo appetite. But to me, I don't know why, but it just feels like this was such an inevitability. I don't know if it's really hit me yet that it's going to happen. I just have always assumed that it was going to. So I never had this like broken up feeling. I never had this feeling like I just got broken up with by Bonnaroo. Because yeah, I never felt that. I just knew that it was going to happen deep down, I guess. So I feel like this is just like a continuation of what we just did back in January of last year. You know, it doesn't feel like anything has really, I don't know. I don't know why I feel this way. I know the world has changed, but for me, I just don't.
No, I think that was a little different. Bit of what I was getting at as we got the release this morning. There's not the huge, giant, bold disclaimer, you know, that one might expect.
Oh man, that's a great point. There is nothing in that release, and correct me if I'm wrong, about capacity limits, about testing restrictions, about you know, vaccine passports.
What I mean, none of that. Yeah. It's like, this is on. Let's go. See you guys in September.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to be adding any of those kind of things. I just don't feel like there's going to be any of those stipulations. I could be wrong, but something about it just doesn't feel like, you know, they're going to walk in here and start, you know, demanding vaccine cards. I know there's a conversation, you know, I think we all know there's a vaccine passport conversation happening right now. But I just, for some reason, cannot envision come September. And I've said this on the show over and over and over. I just can't imagine come September, any of us will be that worried about it. I don't know. Have you gotten your shot yet, Barry?
Not yet, but it's a this week or next thing for sure.
Yeah,
of stuff like this, to be honest.
I got my first one last Friday. Georgia opened up Thursday, and I got an appointment Friday.
I got my first one 2 weeks ago. I liked it so much, I got all three. So I tried to go back for seconds. They wouldn't allow. Louisiana is apparently leading the country in vaccine rates. We're up to like 35% of the population's fully vaccinated. So, and we're, you know, we're in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that's a little different about the announcement today is, tickets go on sale today.
No kidding. They're on sale today.
Starting at 1 o'clock.
How much of this do you think was driven by the leak?
I asked that question specifically and got kind of a no comment. I'm going to guess, just based on how yesterday went, that it probably pushed it up to a point where, you know, a time that they hadn't planned on. Now, whether it's a day, a half a day, a week, I don't know. I know that originally the plan was to announce that they were going to announce, you know, and when, so that people would get ready and be around their computers. It clearly changed it, but I don't think it caught them completely, you know, unawares.
This is not me giving you news. I'm just got some informed speculation. Okay. My informed speculation is that Thursday was the lineup announcement date, and yesterday was supposed to be the announcement of the announcement date, and that's where our guy got confused.
I think that's probably right.
Our guy heard we're making the announcement of the announcement on Tuesday. Can you please social media this? And he probably just got a tad confused. But I'll tell you, we're having him on the show. We better be reaching out to him and getting him on this show immediately.
I mean, it doesn't change a whole lot. It sure made for interesting internet viewing yesterday and texting and back and forth. But
look, as a PR person, you got to imagine, you got to love the fact that leaks happen like this. If a well-orchestrated leak and a well-placed leak hits at the right time, all you've done is build anticipation and started the conversation a little bit early for an announcement like this. So, look, when it comes to stuff like this, I always think things are orchestrated. I always think that there is a reason why certain things happen.
Yeah,
you know, if it's a big, big, big product, I very rarely think that things just happen by accident, you know?
Just well, we all know the name Imdu Mokhtar now. We didn't 2 days ago.
Yeah. I can't wait. There's a couple on here. So I just want to. Lick is back.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Lick?
I do remember.
Yeah, Lick is back, and we got a new ad, Flo Milli. Flo Milli.
Yeah. We also got Troy Boy. That's a new thing.
That's my name on Grindr.
Can't wait to see Troy Boy.
Yeah. So, I have to imagine that the lineup was announced, going to be announced on Thursday, but the leak sort of changed all that. Anything else?
Trying to think if there's any other news. No, stay tuned to us. We have big news coming.
More shows coming out.
What do you mean,
Barry? What do you mean we have big news?
We got some partnerships in the works. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
There's the tease. I know it's bad to do that.
You're such a good teaser. You're such a good teaser.
I mean, if you want to do more, go ahead.
Leak something?
Yeah. You want to leak? We have a well-placed leak.
Yeah.
Nah, we're excited.
Real quick. Who do you think the special guest for Grand Ole Opry you're going to be?
Hadn't even thought about it.
Because what happens, the question will be, what will the ads be? What will the next few months, will get any ads as vaccines start getting distributed more, as people start getting more comfortable? Will bands start throwing their name on the lineup if they can get on it?
Should I go ahead and be first and say it's going to be Miley and her godmother, Miley and Dolly?
Highly doubtful. Highly doubtful. But yeah, I mean, normally, typically, somebody asked me this on Twitter. Normally, typically, I would say that, you know, ads, just don't expect them. You know, they just usually never work out whenever you're holding out hope for an ad. Again, I'll go back to the biggest ad that's ever happened. Fun. Fun was added at the last minute. Jimmy Buffett was another big one, was added at the last minute, just days before the festival. And when Fun played that tent, they had a number one single at the time. It's the only time it's ever happened in the history of Bonnaroo. Somebody played while they had a number one single. Megan Thee Stallion might change that. But, you know, the leaning on artists getting added to enhance a lineup for you usually wouldn't happen. But if it's going to happen, I would bet that it happens this year.
I was just thinking that, yeah, because of the craziness. People just want to play, and there'll probably be some people available that would not normally be available.
It's true.
So maybe.
But then again, you know, we talk to the guys that booked the festival. They don't have many slots available. Mm-mm. It's not like they have. These things are pretty set in stone. When they get a contract and they get a deal done, they pretty much know with all, you know, 85% certainty where these bands are going to go and what time they're going to play.
Yeah. Agreed. But again, and not to, you know, I don't mean this negatively, but things can happen. People can get sick. People can change.
Oh man, that's a great point. Who's the backup?
Yeah, I hope there's a handful of back people on a list. You know,
Jack Johnson.
Remember, they said they got him because he answered his phone.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna answer that phone now.
Yeah, well, yeah. Look, you know, the VCU is my favorite college basketball team because I'm from Richmond. They got pulled out of the NCAA tournament right before the game started because they had a couple of positive COVID tests.
Yeah.
You know, what if something happens to one of these artists and they get pulled out and, you know, they've got to have a backup. Again, another great question for the guys that booked the festival. You know, who can you call on at the last minute that can make this happen? That's, mm-hmm. I don't know, not named Jack Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was a great fill-in. It was, the band that the drummer got sick, right?
It was Mumford.
But terrible situation, and Jack stepped in and it was great. But that was funny. They we knew we could get him on the phone and he could be there. So that's that's the point you're making and I'm making, is they need to have somebody on that call list in case something happens. So
I wonder if Miley's one of those backups.
Too big of a show
to just be dropped in. No, it's just a backup would be somebody that can travel with guitar and hold an audience.
Yeah.
Not somebody that takes a big stage show. You know who be a great backup too, in particular, live in Nashville? Jack White and Dan Arbach.
Yeah, there you go.
Black Keys could be a very nice backup just in case. I mean, the Keys live in Nashville. They live, you know, 10 minutes away. All right, what else did we get to? Anything else on lineup day? It feels like a weird lineup day, does it not?
Yeah, it is, for sure. in some ways, and in other ways, it feels very normal.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get Madhu Mokhtar on the phone.
I'm on it.
By the way, can you work on that, Barry?
I'm on it.
Thanks, guys. All right. There you go. The What Podcast. Which bands this year that matter? That's Lord Taco. That's Barry Quarter. I'm Brad. We'll talk to you very soon. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands this year that matter?
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Quarter.